Since it's not quite stewardship season yet, even though it is year-round stewardship, should be in our minds and thinking, I decided not to preach on that Luke 16 passage, but it is a remarkable passage, and if nothing else, part of it are words I've tried to live by all the time. Those who are faithful in a little thing are also faithful in much, and those who are dishonest in a little thing are also dishonest in much. So just kind of keep that in mind when those little things come by, and how you treat those things might make a difference in on how you pursue the rest of the dealings in your life. After that sermonette, let me now read the Jeremiah 18 passage. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way, and amend your ways and your doings." That was the end of the assigned lectionary portion. They left out the next verse, which kind of lets you know where this story is heading. But they say, the people, "It is of no use. We will follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil will." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, here's a simple question. To what would you compare your understanding of who God is? And by the way, any answer qualifies you as thinking theologically. And we are all fully aware, at least I hope we are, that any words that we use to speak about God are woefully inadequate and insufficient. But you know, that hasn't stopped people throughout human history of putting into words their attempt to explain the unexplainable and utterly mysterious creator of the universe. The ancient Hebrews, for instance, used a figure of speech called a metaphor to bring insight to their understanding of the nature and character of the one that they worshiped and served. And a metaphor, as you know, seeks to provide clarity or identify similarities between two different things. And they use the comparison of something relatively well known to help explain something else that is otherwise unrelated. And while creative and very helpful, there's something very important about metaphors that we need to remember. At one and the same time, a metaphor can be insightful and revealing, yet also be problematic and misleading if taken too far, and especially when literalized. And of all the many Old Testament metaphors used to speak about God, the most common are predominantly masculine, hierarchical, and even militaristic. God is like a father, a king, a warrior. perhaps more favorable to many, God is like a shepherd, yet still often thought of in male terms. But there is another fairly popular metaphor used to explain the nature of God, and especially in how God relates to and interacts with creation itself. This is the image of God as a potter, and often labeled within the broader category known as theism. This metaphor, along with others, pictures God as continuously creating and making new beginnings, opening up new possibilities, and initiating new events. And this is the primary witness that the scriptures give to the kind of God we have. So if then we have a God who indeed continues to interact with what God has created, the answer becomes, how? To answer that, one of the better passages, I think, in the Bible that we can turn to is this one from Jeremiah 18. This Old Testament passage reveals the remarkable visual image of God as a potter and we as the clay. And the prophet Jeremiah uses the metaphor in the following specific way. As clay in the potter's hand yields to the will of the potter, so God shapes the nation Israel to God's liking. Well, this is a rather strong and straightforward assertion of the sovereignty of God, which is a fancy word for the ultimate and supreme power and authority of God. But how then can we apply this metaphor to us today? Well, as clay in the hands of the divine potter, it means that we are continually being worked, molded, shaped, and stretched by hands outside of our existence and also from within by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Yet Jeremiah's observation that suggests that we are like clay does not mean that we are likened to some shapeless lump entirely at the mercy of the artist's hand. Biblical commentator Dennis Bratcher offers the following necessary warning. Often readers stop here with this image and conclude by analogy that humanity is only passive clay in the potter's hands, powerless to affect the design of the potter and helpless to alter the outcome. Well, when taken too literally, some have been led to believe that whatever happens in life happens for a divine reason, that all things are caused by God, that we are only part of some predetermined divine plan. Well, if you take away just one thing from this sermon, and in a way from my entire ministry, let it be this. Predeterminism is not biblical. For this would turn us into nothing more than puppets, and God into a divine marionette controlling all that happens. But when we look closely at this passage from Jeremiah, we learn that contrary to a metaphor of potter and passive clay, the prophet indicates that the clay itself plays an active role in what is being created. God has created us in such a way that we have free will and freedom of choice. We share, therefore, in how we are shaped. And of course, both nature and nurture, our genes and our environment, play a big role in that determination. As clay, then, whether we are gritty or smooth, malleable or stiff, refined or flecked with imperfections, it affects how we will turn out. So perhaps the biggest question is, are you and I willing to trust that God, with all of our flecks, flaws, and failures, can make something out of beauty out of you and me and we as a community of faith? So the issue in the book of Jeremiah then is whether Israel will become what God intends, or whether they will choose to reject God's intentions. And we as individuals, as a congregation, as a denomination, even as a nation, are always faced with the same options. So central to the very core of the theological doctrine of creation is the belief that God does respond and interact with human beings. Now, while I realize that that is not necessarily the understanding of all in this congregation, believing this can lead to a crucial point that our human decisions do matter, especially as they relate to allowing God's intentions and purposes to work out in the world through us. For we all know that events may not go as God intends. We call that tragedy, or in some instances, evil. Or that people may respond contrary to God's purposes. We can call that sin. So yes, in order for us to fulfill God's intentions and live into what it fully means to be a child of God, we may need to change some of our attitudes and actions. And the theological word for that is repentance. It lies at the heart of Jeremiah's message, and the message of all biblical prophets, for that matter, including Jesus. The theological struggle between God's sovereignty and our free will remains. And the analogy of God as a potter and we humans as clay affirms a world in which God is active in all aspects of human life and history, not controlling or manipulating it to make sure that the plans come out right, but working dynamically to accomplish God's intentions and purposes for God's creation. And this leads to one more aspect of the metaphor of the potter and the clay that I want to address. Clay is only workable until it is fired. After it is fired, it can no longer be shaped as the potter desires. In the Jeremiah passage, he warns that by its stubbornness and continued rebellion, Israel had reached the stage of a fired pot that would be destroyed if it did not serve the purposes for which it was created. Indeed, the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile soon followed. Now, we have to be very careful not to take this metaphor or any other too far, for that point alone is endlessly problematic for many of us. But Jeremiah does make a good point. God can mold and shape us only if we remain open to being molded and shaped and reshaped. Once we become hard-hearted, unwilling to bend, yield, or change in any way, it's hard for us to live into God's intentions for us, again, as individuals, as a congregation, as a denomination, and yes, even as a nation. Ask any creative artisan, and they will tell you that despite their best preconceived plans, sometimes the material they work with refuses to cooperate. Someone has a mind of its own. Its plans are different. And this applies to more than just pottery or sculpture or working with rocks. I found this to be true in my hobby of photography. And ask any parent trying to take the perfect picture of a three-year-old, and they will tell you about times when their subject simply refuses to cooperate. You know the line about the best-made plans. So the question remains, will you and I, will we, allow God to shape and rework us in those places in our hearts and minds and spirits that may need to be reworked? in order to be more fully fashioned into God's intentions for us. And what are those intentions? Well, for Christians, these intentions are living according to the ways and teachings of Jesus, especially to love others. It can happen if we allow the potter to do the one single most important part of creating a work of beauty, and that is centering the clay on the wheel. If the clay is not centered, the centrifugal forces will cause the clay to explode outward and splatter into a huge mess. So trusting God is to allow ourselves to be centered in the will of God, allowing God to take the raw material that we give and slowly but inexorably fashion it into a vessel of both usefulness and beauty. So as you continue to reflect upon your understanding of the nature and character of God, and to what metaphor you would use to compare that understanding, I invite you now to sing with me. We're not even going to rehearse. I think you know it. Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
On us.